Our scripture reading this evening is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 will be beginning with verse 36. In your black Bibles, it's page 1023, and in your brown Bibles, page 1081. Luke 7, beginning with verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him, at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would, by your Spirit, make your word come alive in our hearts and our minds, and that, as you promised, that when your word went forth, it would not come back void, but it would accomplish its purposes. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask that this word might accomplish its purposes in us. In his name we pray. Amen. Love, as everybody knows, has a way of making you do some pretty unusual things, some pretty embarrassing things. When you're in love with someone, you find yourself doing things that you wouldn't normally do. Sometimes doing things that you had never dreamed of doing before because you're in love. Being in love does something to you. It changes you somehow. And everyone around you can tell when you're in love. Everyone around you can see that you've fallen in love because being in love has certain symptoms. You behave a particular way. You seem to smile more often than normal. Things that normally would get on your nerves just don't. You seem as though nothing will faze you when you're in love. You always seem to be in some kind of dreamland. People notice when you're in love because you're acting differently than most people. You're acting strangely to most people. You're doing things that are quite odd, quite out of the ordinary. Being in love has many symptoms, and most of them are easy to recognize. But what are the causes of being in love? Because being in love, while it has many symptoms, it also has a cause. It has both symptoms and causes. Love grows because of a relationship. A relationship that you have with someone. Someone takes an interest in you. Someone who you never thought would take an interest in you. And they start to do things for you. They start to treat you like a very special person. They start to give you things, to do selfless things for you. And when you have that combination of having someone that you never dreamed would be interested in you, actually be interested in you, and then they start to treat you in this way, to care for you, to do selfless things for you, you can't help but fall in love with them. Love has a cause. Love grows in that kind of a relationship, out of an experience of receiving something very valuable from someone very special. You receive understanding and tenderness and selfless love. Love has its causes as well as its symptoms. So when people do these crazy things when they're in love, it's not as though they've thought it all through and thought that these are the things I'm going to do. It's that they can't help it. Love has been caused in them by this relationship that they find themselves in. And then that love is born out in them in certain ways. So it doesn't do any good for someone around them to say, just stop it. Because they can't stop it. They're in love. It's happened to them. And they can't change that. And because they're in love, they start doing these things that are out of the ordinary. And the same thing is true when someone falls in love with God. Falling in love with God has its symptoms as well. When we fall in love with God, we find ourselves doing things out of the ordinary. Things that we never thought we would do, and yet we do them anyway. When we love God, we find ourselves doing things out of the ordinary. Things that cause other people to look at us and say, what got into him? Or what is going on with her? It causes us to do things unique, unusual. Being in love with God has its own set of symptoms, and Jesus focuses on three of them here with regard to the love of this woman for him. He focuses on her tears and her kisses and her perfume. Her tears. In verse 44, we read, then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. Foot washing, as you probably know, is a very common thing in the ancient world. Everybody wore sandals, and as they traveled the dusty roads, their feet became rather dirty. And so when you washed your guests' feet upon their arrival, it was a way of acknowledging their journey. You have come all this way for me. I want to acknowledge that, and I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to wash the dust off of your feet. Foot washing was a way of acknowledging your guest's journey. It was an understanding of what the guest had endured to be there with you. So when the host washed the feet of his guest, he was telling the guest very clearly that I acknowledge your journey here, that it has cost you, and you've come because of me. Let me wash your feet. Well, Simon hadn't done anything in this regard. Not only hadn't he washed Jesus' feet, he didn't have any of his servants wash Jesus' feet, and he didn't even supply water so that Jesus could wash his own feet. But the woman was different. The sinful woman, she washed Jesus' feet with her tears. She understood why he had come, why he had made the journey from his home to our home. It was because of her sin. See, Simon thought that Jesus had come to his house because he was a Pharisee. This woman knew that he had come to this world because of her sin. The word here used for weeping is a word that that always is a reference to tears of sorrow or anguish, never in reference to tears of joy. So this woman is acknowledging Jesus' journey by washing his feet with tears of sorrow. Acknowledging his journey. She understood. Tears of sorrow are a symptom of having fallen in love with God. Have you ever been overwhelmed when you reflected on your sin? Have you ever been overwhelmed with the thought that he made his journey from heaven to a sinful world because of your sin? And has it made you weep? It's not something that we do very often. It would stand out. It's unusual. It's not very common. It would cause people to look down the row and say, "What's up with him? What's up with her?" They're weeping. Someone once told me when I was in seminary that I should try not to cry so much in front of my congregations when I got one. They said that people might get the wrong idea. They might get the thought that their pastor is quite a sinner. And my response to that was, well, he is quite a sinner. That's why we're all here, isn't it? Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, he says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance." In other words, everyone should adopt it. "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Tears of sorrow are part of what it means to be in love with God, because by them, we acknowledge his journey. Why it is that he came from his home to ours. Secondly, Jesus talks about her kisses. He says in verse 45, "You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet." The kiss, as a greeting, was a sign of welcome. It was a sign that you were happy to have that guest in your home. Once you had acknowledged their journey by washing their feet, the kiss of greeting was a way of saying, "I'm so happy that you have come." It was a means of saying, your journey here, the fact that you've arrived at my house, gives me joy. Let me greet you with joy, with a kiss. Simon hadn't kissed Jesus when he came. But the woman, again, was different. Instead of kissing him on the cheek, perhaps, she takes this very common gesture to an embarrassingly high extreme as she continually kisses his feet over and over and over again. One gesture, you see, leads to the next. Her understanding and her acknowledgement of his journey and the reason for it causes her to react with incredible joy on his arrival. One reaction and gesture leads to the next. And so she kisses his feet over and over again to help wipe away her tears of sorrow that had acknowledged his journey. Part of falling in love with God is to joyously receive him. In Acts 16, we have the story of the Philippian jailer. And Paul and Silas were in prison, and there was an earthquake, and the doors flew open, and the jailer rushed in because he thought the men inside would have escaped, but they were still there. And he came to faith that night. And we pick up the story in verse 32, where we read, "Then they," that is Paul and Silas, "spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Being filled with joy upon receiving Christ is a symptom of having fallen in love with him. It's a symptom of having fallen in love with God. Has your joy, the joy that you have from having received Christ, ever made you do something that made people wonder what is up with him? Has your joy ever brought you to do something that you never thought you would do before? Simply because you're overwhelmed that he's here. That you've received him. When we were living in Grand Rapids, as many of you know, we lived in a part of town that wasn't all that great. So he didn't usually go out at night. One night, we heard something. It was a pretty quiet night, but we heard someone. And it sounded like they were yelling or something, which wasn't unusual. But they were down the road a ways. And as we waited, we heard it getting louder and louder. He was getting closer to our house. He was walking down the sidewalk. And we, of course, thought, well, the guy's drunk, you know. But as he got closer to our house, we could hear the words. And he was singing songs about the Lord. At the top of his lungs, down the sidewalk on Eastern Avenue, in a bad part of town, this guy was singing at the top of his lungs about the joy that he had having received Christ. All the way home, through the darkness, those words went ringing. And people must have been thinking, what is up with him? He's in love. He'd fallen in love with Jesus. Have you ever been in the frozen food aisle of your local grocery store and just burst out into song? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to... Can you imagine? The way people would look at you, what is up with him? He's in love. He's in love with Jesus. Actions of extreme joy after having received him are symptoms of having fallen in love with God. And finally, Jesus mentions the perfume. He says, "You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet." To anoint a guest with oil was a sign of honor. After their long journey had been acknowledged with the foot washing, after you had showed them how happy you were to have them in your home by a kiss, sometimes you would anoint their head with oil as a way of showing them how important they are to you, as a way of paying honor to them. Do you see the progression? First, acknowledgement of their journey on your behalf by foot washing. Second, joyful acceptance of their arrival with a kiss. And finally, paying special honor to them by a special act, like anointing their heads with oil. No, I'm putting you on the spot. Those of you in catechism, what are the three parts of the catechism? Sin, salvation, and service, right? How great my sin and misery is. Acknowledging his journey and why he'd come. Salvation. How I am set free from my sin and misery. And then how I'm to be thankful. Seems to fit the same pattern. But as far as the oil was concerned, Simon didn't bother. But the sinful woman, rather than using common olive oil to anoint his head, uses an alabaster jar of perfume and pours it all over his feet. Again, her actions bear the mark of being in love. They're uncommon. They're unusual. They're extreme. She's in love. Her gesture of honor, of doing something kind for him in return, is, like her other actions, far out of the ordinary. Have you ever done anything like that for the Lord? Have you ever done anything after having reflected on the reason for his coming, your sin, and after having received him with joy, have you ever then just gone out and done something crazy for him as a way of showing him just how much you love him in return? And how would you do that? Jesus says to us in Matthew 25, he says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." His feet aren't here anymore for us to pour perfume over, but his brother's feet are. Anointing them with perfume, doing something extravagant for the least of these, his brothers, those who believe in him. That too is a symptom of having fallen in love with him. You know, when you're around someone who's in love, it's easy to become annoyed after a while. You know, I mean, for a while you can stand it. They're doing some crazy things. All right, they're in love. But after a while, it really gets kind of annoying. But you know who it gets the most annoying for? The people who aren't in love. Or the people, especially, who have never been in love. They have a very low tolerance for that. And such seems to be the case with Simon the Pharisee. These actions of this sinful woman are a spectacle to him. He can't believe it. Such terribly exaggerated gestures, and coming from a sinner to boot. Can you imagine it? If this man were a prophet, he says, he would know who's touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she's a sinner. And it's then that Jesus not only helps Simon to understand that her actions are symptoms of being in love, but he also informs Simon that, like being in love with other people, being in love with God also, along with having symptoms, has a cause. After having recounted her actions for Simon, he concludes in verse 47. He says, "Therefore," in other words, based on the fact that she has done these incredibly uncommon, exaggerated gestures to me, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little." See, it isn't that her loving causes her sins to be forgiven. It's the other way around. It's the fact that her sins that have been forgiven that causes her to love so deeply. Having experienced forgiveness is the cause of being in love with God. Now, remember what we were saying a little while ago about what makes someone start to love somebody else. It happens when someone you never thought would be interested in you is interested in you. And they begin to show you that they care by treating you in a very special way, by doing things for you and caring for you and acting selflessly toward you. And that combination of having someone who you never thought would be interested in you actually be interested in you and then start to treat you that way, can do nothing but make you love them. As a sinful woman, how could she ever have dreamed that the Lord of glory, the Son of God, would be interested in her? But he was. He came all the way for her, not in spite of her sin, but because of it. To give himself selflessly for her and to set her free from her bondage. And that will create love. The Lord could tell she had been forgiven much because he could see, and everyone else too could see, that she loved much. Her extravagant actions to him were proportional to the amount of forgiveness she had received. How much have we been forgiven? And do our actions reflect it? Do people look at your tears of sorrow over your sin and your actions of great joy, having received him, and your extravagant giving to the least of his brothers as a way of giving back to him? And do they say, now there is someone who has to be in love? Do they see us loving God much or loving him little? Her many sins have been forgiven, said Jesus, because she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Perhaps you are carrying around a burden tonight. Like this woman, you've had a lifetime of sin piled on your back. And you can't believe that the Lord of glory, the Son of God, could be interested in you. But he is. It's why he came. Will you acknowledge his journey with tears of sorrow over that sin? Will you greet him with joy, having received him? And will you set the rest of your life toward showing him just how much you love him because of what he's done for you? If you will, then everyone here and everyone who hears about you will know two things. First, that you are in love. And secondly, that you've been forgiven. There are many people here that would speak to you. Certainly I would. Talk to someone about that. And you will hear him say, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let's pray. Lord, we want to love you more. Help us to love you more. Amen.